This is Down to Brass Tacks, the Thursday edition. It's January 23rd, 2020. The number to call, 434-1790. WhatsApp would be 266-4862. That's 266-IVOB. I look forward to your calls and your WhatsApps today. Hope to have an engaging session. Our producer is Mrs. Michelle Brathwaite. She'll be the one you would hear when you call on the phone, etc. Today is a good day. And you can choose your topic, of course, because it is in the week. And you can call and ask us various questions, share anything that is on your mind. Much has been said about the former Minister of Small Business and International, Small Business Development, etc., and his trial, and the recent guilty charge of all three counts. Much has been said about violence in Barbados, in particular the youth, and its possible relationship with drugs. Persons are talking about the recent discussion. Well, it was a feature address by the Prime Minister at the centenary dinner of the Right Excellent Errol Barrow, one of our national heroes. I can say it was tastefully done because I was there. I was privileged to be among that crowd to hear our Prime Minister talk about her relationship with the former Prime Minister of Barbados, her referring to him as Uncle Errol. So I would really say hats off to the Errol Anita Barrow Trust and their consistent intervention in the lives of ordinary Barbadians. I think that was my big takeaway when I sat there and I heard the perspectives of persons who benefited from those lovely contributions, let me put it that way, where they were able to travel abroad to complete their studies. And one person that comes to mind would be the current minister in the Ministry of Finance, the Honorable Ryan Strachan, who was able to go off some years ago in 2003, I think, and study. He did a master's in econometrics, having done his first degree here at KFL campus, and that was the beginning of his professional and otherwise career. So the trust is contributing in various ways. You can think of aeronautical, many different elements of endeavor. Persons have been able to go off and study and not limited to particular areas like finance and business and science, but there are other areas where persons have been able to benefit. So a big thanks and a big hat will go off to those various persons who've received in excess of $2.1 million over the year of his existence. We also hear that the nurses are coming from Ghana and that will be set for February. And then we also heard that the stadium is not going to be ready in the particular week where a few schools are going to have some challenges in terms of rostering. So the only recommendation would be for them to use another school or possibly use the stadium at the bottom of Spring Garden Highway with the name of one of the great sprinters of all time, Usain Bolt. If possible, I'm sure we would work to fix those timetables. And then finally, a little painful, but today family and friends and well-wishers say goodbye to 16-year-old Niam Stout, who endured a very fierce battle with cancer, where she would have heard about it since the age of 6 and has gone through significant interventions over the years, and then she was able to come back to school at Charles F. Broome and live a normal life, and then go off to foundation school, where she would have stayed for a number of years until she started to have some challenges in the middle of last year, and would have succumbed to those just about a week ago, succumbed to those pains. So we say a goodbye to Niam today, and we wish the families condolences, the Stout and the Gooden family in particular, condolences. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I look forward to hearing your calls and seeing your WhatsApps. And we will have a good day. We go until 2 p.m. today. And we have Mrs. Michelle Brathwaite in the studio. Good morning. Good morning, Down to Brass Tacks.
Yeah, hello. Good morning, Ms. Gibbs.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, how are you?
Well, thanks.
There are some things here I'm looking at. Since this is the first time I tell you, I'll be here to you for the year.
Oh, well, Happy New Year to you, sir.
Same to you. I was listening to the BBC some time ago, around a fortnight ago, and they were talking about the world, and they were using the projections for the world economies for 2020 and the following year. And some of your experts have said that it's going to be sluggish growth for 2020.
Yes. Actually, it was revised. It was revised downwards.
That's right. I don't expect this lot of excitement by the investors. Mm-hmm. Now, my thing is that if that is the case, me and Bob seems to be very excited about change this year. And the projection that we are having seems to be one of more fantasy than anything else. But the reality tells me that I am of the belief that I am going to see, or I suspect that I will see more people getting laid off this year. Because I don't expect this sort of investment in which Mr. Ryan Strong that you just spoke about is going to happen. And if it's going to happen, it's going to happen not this year, most probably next 2 or 3 years. But I wonder if Bobbins, who are not very excited about what Mr. Ryan Strong or the gentleman that we refer to as 10,000 jobs, was spoke about on this radio station. Now, the first thing I want to hear is your views on your projections for Barbados 2020 and this 2030 vision, which I am beginning to get asked questions about it, because I'm seeing numbers at certain events, but I am not seeing the sort of the people that I'm looking for to really support these events, the people that who are coming, and let's say, for example, invest in restructuring the hospital, the roads in St. Lucie that needs repair, they put some things down there, and I could tell that was done by a carpenter would have done a better job. So let me hear your views on it before I go on further, please.
Well, I must say, having studied and worked in economics for some time, I do take the projections seriously. And one of the main headlines is that amid the uncertainty, there's some cracks in the global economic confidence. So you are consistent in your fear. Not to put that on you, but I'll use the word fear deliberately, because when you use the terms like uncertainty and cracks and a reduction in confidence, it means that there's a certain level of fear. What the pundits are saying is that there's not the expectation that growth of, it was 3.6%, has been now reduced to 3.3%. They're saying that because of scenarios, let's look at geopolitics for now, with the war between, well, trade war between US and China, that is one of the things that a lot of people have their eyes on. And because of that, countries that depend heavily on goods from US and China are going to be impacted. And that's only but one of them. There are other elements to the potential cracks, whether it has to do with the climate change, the fallout from that in some countries, or whether it has to do with any other wars in the Middle East. Whatever they are seeing as major, they're saying, okay, let's hold up. These have implications for potential trade, and then it has implications for potential growth. So that's just a caution. But you did bring it very, very, very much home, and you're indicating that the Ministry of Finance has said that you're not as excited as he is. I'm not so sure that I heard excitement coming from him. What I keep hearing from not only himself, but whether it is consultant Kevin Greenidge or the Prime Minister herself, Minister of Finance, or the Minister in the Ministry of Investment, they're using the term stay the course. Some people see it as a political term, but they're saying work is ongoing. The economic fundamentals are coming back to a stage where we can see some level of stability. And I think you have to start first with the, what we call, even before you get to the stability, we have the austerity. And you know we would have seen significant austerity starting from June and July of 2018. And then now we had reports from the governor himself of the central bank of stability in 2019, or moving towards stability in 2019 with an expectation of further stability in 2020. And then we would then start to see, because they didn't have any expectations for growth in 2018 and 2019, you must remember that. So I don't know that they had any extra set of excitement that you're seeing.
No, they were talking about investors beginning to have confidence in Barbados, and we will see investment coming to Barbados 2020 and beyond.
They did say that, and there have been reports of a pickup or a surge in notable investments or persons identifying one or two investments that will be coming on stream, some of which are even investment tools that the government themselves have said they're going to facilitate in order to accommodate some level of growth and activity in the economic sphere.
Yeah, I saw this question on a young girl. One of the questions that was asked is, why would investors want to come to Barbados? Let's say, and they choose Amazon. Why do you think Amazon will want to come to Barbados? That was one of the questions in the soy paper. And the other question I was just glancing over this year's examination paper is that...
Whose examination paper?
This is a young girl at a secondary school.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Are you? And she was asked the question.
Because she was showing somebody, actually, I was in the company of her uncle, who was just taking her from lessons. And by the way, my friend, Mr. Scannabright, he's gone back overseas again because, unfortunately, he had illness. And he attended the hospital, and this is by the way, though, and while there, he was in the ward, and every day he wake up, he realized the orleans are coming from downstairs with these. He's a very curious fellow, so he decided that he didn't have to go overseas and have a different opinion.
Okay. It's always good to have a second opinion, though.
I have a second opinion. I've been there on Saturday also to get some education for old lady. A lady said he almost shoved that hospital in a very mess. But we will talk about that at a different time because I'm doing some work on that now. You will find me on my Facebook page when I'm finished with that. So have a nice day, Miss.
Thank you very much. I don't even know your name to go searching for you on Facebook. You want to share that? I guess you're gone. This is Dr. Brastats. You are on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you again. I heard you last week, remember, week before.
I did?
Yes, sir.
Like how many first stages of Alzheimer's?
Not really. There have been many other days since then. 14 to be exact.
All right. My woman of the year, right near the year to start, is Nancy Pelosi.
Pelosi.
Money is Donald Trump.
Whoa, that's strong. Not very welcomed on this ear.
My hypocrite of the year, I left Barbados to decide on that. That's a Barbadian. I would love.
But you, is you, you're the one who's saying it, so why don't you share?
Hey, it's going to go. An ambassador. I'll say ambassador, but an ambassador.
So after identifying these titles, what else do you have to say?
I want to know something, though. White people are feeling so sorry for Dominic. Dominic brought the law.
White people are feeling sorry for him. I think people genuinely feel for people in different ways. You're referring to the comments from the Sunday Sun when persons from abroad commented?
From here too, you see, Barbados are very strange people, you know. Let's say I'm a political representative. I come in the area they represent. I give you a bag of rice, not give you any instructions. You hold on to that rice. You know I'm going to want to tell everybody what a good man I am. What about the people that you refuse to share that with? It does not make you a good man. A good man give instructions and make sure the instructions are carried out. Make sure everybody, whether they support me or not, get a bit of this right. I am feeling sorry for him. I'm glad, and I hope in times to come he'll be joined by others. I'm very serious. I see people are going to jail here for all kind of petty foolishness and stuff, but nobody knows to live sorry for them.
You don't know what their family have uttered. I think the issue here is that Donville is a former minister of government.
Or the reason why he get what he deserved because he was entrusted with the people's money.
Mm-hmm.
And you got people suffering. Mm-hmm. Suffering, you know. Mm-hmm. And he buying this. When I read the amount of properties that he owned when this thing came out.
But what is interesting is that Innes was a millionaire before he became a minister of government. So some people actually ask the question, why $36,000? Because in other words, given his capacity, financial capacity, that was what people call small change.
All right, let me do some digging then. He was a millionaire before he became a minister of government.
He was a man of means. He had several businesses.
No. I want to know how he earned his money.
I can't help you there. I think I haven't done that research.
Heard mention by.
I was just let me protect context. What I was saying specifically is there are some ministers who would have come in with $10,000, but he was one who was known to have already acquired property. And a couple other things prior to his time in office. And if you look at the, if you claim you did your research, you would see that the dates, acquisition predated 2008.
This is the first time that I know him, I was a millionaire. So I wonder if he went the mega state, if he made the other big lotto that orbits that billions. I wonder if he inherited. If it was in the court of law, you've got to state these things, declare your assets. Well, Lord,
but that's probably why our scenario continues to play out here in Barbados. Which is what I probably should say. And we do need to move with haste as it relates to our integrity in public life.
No, it's Bill, going to be.
We do need to move with haste.
Lisa, let me get real. It is not going anywhere with these two parties.
You think so? You think they're playing us?
They're going to be. If they're going to talk about it, they can impress upon the public about it, but they're not going to pass it. It is not going to happen. When are we going to learn? We are supposed to be a supposedly educated society. We're the most intelligent people in the Caribbean. We're the biggest idiots in the Caribbean, with very few exceptions.
Yourself included, or you're one of the exceptions?
Not me, but I'm an idiot in certain aspects, yes. I'm not going to deny that. Maybe in a lot of things, I'm an idiot, but you know what?
You mean you're ignorant of things, but that doesn't mean you're an idiot.
Because
all of us are ignorant of many things, because we don't know it all.
Hold on. If I tell you as an idiot to certain things, it's I know me.
I really shouldn't argue with you.
I know me.
I don't think it's a positive thing to say about yourself.
But no, you see, a lot of people don't want to live up to reality. A lot of people ignore problems, hoping that they would go away. You have to deal with problems and make them go away. Now, Casper Franklin, I'm watching you. You're my friend. You're a man I love. I watching you. I want you to bring up this thing about the people from 55 Barbados in Parliament. You are posed perfectly to do it. These people, and they're going to talk about this all the time, you know. These people are going through severe hardship. For instance, four of them died so far. They possibly could be a fifth. Now, if people don't know this, I'm going to let them know because I did it on behalf of a lot of people. When you work in government and you pass away, your family is entitled to whatever money you would have had there.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, we notice about Barbadians are very skilled at spreading rumors and being malicious. But when it comes to their own well-being, a lot of them don't have the cue. A very good friend of mine, like a brother, he had a relative who passed away. I was told that he's not entitled to anything other than a year's salary. When they spoke to him, they said, no, that can't be right. He told me that a person, I'm going to call the position later, who was in high authority, told him that. I said, well, you can accept it, not me. Let me have a call to the Treasury. And they got information from the Treasury.
On his behalf?
You have to go and take out letters of administration, and then you go from there. Since then, I saw a lot of people who have people who worked in the ministry used to work who were deceased, and they told them the right, and those who went forward have achieved the goals. Some even offered me money, they don't want it.
So you're a man of the people, man. You look up for the interests of persons.
Listen, I can only do what the Father put me here to do, you know. You know, money and everything. You know what's great for me? You know what's my goal that I'm seeking in life? Mm-hmm. It's to have peace of mind. You can't go in the bank and withdraw it. You can't get enough pharmacists and get it. It's something that you have to achieve in life. And when I know that I'm being able to help another human being, mm-hmm. that is my reward. That is my reward. I just don't like seeing people being taken advantage of.
That's good. I think that's very commendable. Thank you for your care for those persons. And as you've raised the matter with those former NCC workers who have not yet received their funds, you continue to operate in the vanguard of them and on their interests. Thank you so much for that. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We have another caller.
Hi, Lisa. Good morning.
Good morning.
I wish to speak.
Happy New Year to you. I didn't hear you last week.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much. Happy New Year to you as well. Yes, I don't think... Were you on for the year, though?
Yes, I was on once.
Oh, okay. I probably missed it. May I just say to you, Lisa, something that troubled me. I spoke about this, I remember, around 2007 or late 2006. Kind of, I saw it coming. And then I, just by chance, I happened to buy a Monday Nation, because I normally just buy the Sunday Sun. And I was so glad I did. My concern this morning is on page 15 of Monday, January 20, Daily Nation. And it lists here properties for sale. And there we have listed 24 properties. 14 of those are land lots, which would be offered for sale. And the address given... under this ad is Recoveries Department, so I suspect it might be a bank. 14 plots of land for sale and 10 properties. Every single parish, with the exception of St. Michael, included here. St. Peter, St. Philip, St. John, Christ Church, St. James, St. Lucy, St. Thomas, St. George, I think we're only missing St. Joseph and St. Michael. And Lisa, I remember the minister who has responsibility for business, Mr. Dwight Sutherland, expressed concern after there was the layoff of public servants. And I don't think he was only referring to the public servants. I have had this feeling that he was... speaking generally about workers who are having problem meeting their financial commitments to the banks and credit unions, I suppose, as well. And their properties were at risk. Here in Barbados, Lisa, we know that the opportunity to purchase a home is usually the largest investment most people would make. And once you get that opportunity, if you lose that home midlife, middle age, etc., because of your job or whatever, it is unlikely that you will get another property. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's unlikely. It's a real steep climb. And I am concerned about the number of properties that I'm hearing about persons losing their home. And there should be some policy. We are in recession. We have been in recession, I think, from 2018, if I'm not mistaken, the last quarter. I think they were. I think there was a figure that demonstrated the negative growth, and it went on into 2019. I could be corrected on this. We have a situation where public servants have been sent home. We have a situation in private sector is fairly stagnant. The banks have cut what they pay as interest on savings. They have introduced a large number of fees. And I'm saying to you, the final thing, the final nail in the coffin, a property, land, not even house, the person hasn't even bought, haven't even started building on their house. Land and even property have been sold. And these are not big residential area like Millennium Heights. We are talking about Maycox and Claybourne in St. John and Husbands in St. James, etc., St. Lucie and St. Philip and all that. And I want the government, you know, I always think that this thing about electing governments, it should, any government elected should be doing things, enacting policies for the average man in the street in a way that he can feel it. He can identify with it. We understand roads are built, the hospitals, etc., but there are some bread and butter issues, and the bank is one of those, and the insurance another one, that I feel government should be looking at and determining whether or not if a person, for example, has paid 40%, 50%, 60% of the monies borrowed, whether or not a bank could move into to selling their property. I want also government to look at this whole question of selling out persons' property because of non-payment for land tax. That has to be stopped immediately if you are a caring government. And so this concerned me when I saw this article in the Daily Nation, because the minister said that they were looking at somewhere, I don't know if it's moral suasion or what, with the bank, that they were going to look at the bank's policy of dealing with persons who are having financial difficulties. I think it is needed like yesterday. And instead of all sorts of other things that to me is not as critical as Barbadians losing their homes and their pieces of land that they would have bought, I am saying this needs urgent attention. I need policies that would that would affect the average man, and this is one of it. Look at the banks, look at the insurance company, but look at this whole thing about people losing their properties. Something has to be done, Lisa. Thank you.
Thank you. I was here thinking while you were speaking about when you read a set of properties for sale, automatically you came to the conclusion that those persons are losing their properties because of non-payment. Yes, it may very well be non-payment, but there could be circumstances. Someone may have left Barbados and decided they don't want it anymore and they didn't go through the right. It could be a number of things. But it is a valid point that if a person does own a property and for a long time, which would have led them to payments beyond the 50%, there could be some consideration. I'm not so sure that I would suggest that government be the one to step in, because that would be a lot of people. and if someone knows that they can get assistance, sometimes they don't push as hard as they could. But being caring, that does dictate that some of your policies look out for the interests of those less fortunate. So I fully agree with you there on that. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks, we have several callers. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Blessings to you, Lisa.
Thank you, and a blessed day to you, and blessings to you, all of you.
Thank you. All right, I have 3 points this morning. First, I want to congratulate, compliment, and commend all the three C's, my Prime Minister, on giving the decision for the 3 scholarships starting next year for children in the newer secondary schools. And I thought that was long in coming. I really want to compliment her on that, because I think it's time that the academics go on the back burner for a little while, if you understand what I'm trying to say. It is high time that those children are given piece of the pie. So I am really happy about that. Mm-hmm. I also want to commend the organizers of the St. Lucie's gathering. Mm-hmm. I went to the unveiling and the concert, and I thought that at the concert, I liked the idea how they showed clips from the Honorable Errol Walton Barrow in during his life. I thought you know, in between with the
every
people
single
singing.
Excellent.
And what was also nostalgic for me is that the songs that were used, the songs, the steel pan, the bands, were all Barbadian. Mm. In other words, they did not sing songs from, as people say, over in a way. And I thought that that was very Bajan. Nostalgic for me was being at the unveiling, to be there. Okay. It felt as if it was like I was there 100 years ago. Mm. But what I wanted to see, and I did not see, and I would like the organizers to look at, I did not see any children present from the St. Lucie School, the All Saints schools that are from Buttonbound in St. Lucie.
You mean at the unveiling? Because there were some of them were at
they were
the,
all, they the, were, no, the church service, they were there.
And they also performed on
the stage, but I'm talking about the unveiling of itself. Mm-hmm.
I only saw one child. I recognize him
because
he's
the son
of one of the organizers.
That's what I'm saying. And I think there were people who also agreed with me, because for me, where I go, wherever I go, I look to see if there are young people there. Mm-hmm. The demographic was mainly older people. And I thought I would have at least have seen 20 children from your school, this school, that school.
Okay.
Seeing that unveiling, because, Lisa, it's a one-in-a-lifetime thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we were
I
not
watched
here.
It on TV.
Correct. Whether you watched it or not, but
yeah,
I wanted to see present
yes.
the young children from the schools in, as I say, in St. Lucie. Other than that, everything was 101%. So I really...
I think that's a good recommendation, suggestion
so
in other ways.
I wanted to get near to the organizer to let them know.
Mm-hmm.
But because there were so many people, I'm talking now at the concert, because I couldn't do it really at the unveiling.
Yes.
But for me, it was very blatant that there were no children. Mm-hmm. I'm being very honest.
Mm-hmm.
And I shared it with other adults who were there.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do think they are the future.
Yes,
and
they are.
And that brings me to my next point.
Mm-hmm.
Because our children, and I think you will agree, and most people would agree, that we need to teach our children, this is what I would like to see come back really strong, civics and our history.
Of course.
Because a lot of young people do not know the history and the things that you and I would have either been taught, we read, we saw something. They do not know their Barbadian history. And that is very, I mean, that is a standout in my mind right now in education and civics. I think I heard somebody, I don't know if it is Mr. Murray, that spoke about it. That is very important, Lisa, in our curriculum to be on in our education system. And I really am feeling a real passion for that, because they don't know who's who. I'm sure if you ask some people who was Sir Clifford Husbands, they would not know who he was.
Yes, it's true.
So I am saying we have to look at the important points when it comes to young people. You know, I hear all these things about young people, young people. I myself am just started a volunteer group, and I want to leave my number with you. So if there are interested people who are interested can come and join. I'm also putting out a call for females to come and help in the Girl Guide Association. We need a lot of help.
It would be remiss of me to not publicly congratulate you on your recent designation.
Yes, for your children.
And for your work in Girl Guides. I think it was indeed an honor. And your work has gone beyond Girl Guides. You've really been
definitely.
In the vanguard of children. And
it's children generally.
People. And, yes, and I really commend you for your continued work.
Thank you
work
very much for that.
And
on that, I would like to say, though, I would like
our future.
Other females to come and get involved. We have a lot of girls that need help.
Yes.
I meet children generally, both boys and girls. Mm-hmm. But because I work with girls mainly, we really need females to come and give back 1 hour a week, Lisa.
Yes.
One single hour. But instead of people calling in and saying we should do this and we should do that, get up the next morning, mm-hmm. ignite your passion, and go get it done.
I fully agree.
You have to ignite your own passion. Nobody's going to ignite it for you.
That's right.
You understand? Mm-hmm. So get up and get involved, because there are so many things that you can get involved in, and you can start your own thing. I have just started a little volunteer safe haven here where I live in St. Peter, and I'm saying that we need to go back to the community character, the characteristics of a community.
And you know, it requires deliberate action. It's not anything that's just going to happen because of our lifestyles that have changed.
Well,
it has to be a concerted effort on people's part to get involved and to make a difference.
Each person, well, you have to ignite your own passion.
Yes, yes.
But you cannot wait on government.
Yeah, agreed, fully.
We are government. Mm-hmm. You understand? And I think we need to get, because we know what we are going to be saying next year? We really need to have a panel discussion on how we are going to help children and violence and this and behavior. Get up and do your part.
Oh, sorry, you were being sarcastic.
Pardon?
You were being sarcastic. You were saying that next year we need to have a panel discussion, or you're serious?
No, I'm saying next year this time I will be telling you, we need to do this panel discussion. And after the panel discussion, Lisa, guess what happens the next day? It's business as usual.
Yeah.
Nobody says, well, look, let me go and start, Lisa and I, let us go and start and ignite this little thing. Maybe we'll get 5 people, 10 people down the road. That is what it starts with you.
But I can even go further. It isn't just, and I find there's so many people who want to go and start something and they don't have the capacity to maintain it, etc. You can join something that exists already.
That's what I'm
saying. I said it last time I was here before. We have a plethora of organizations out there that are assisting our people. It is not just the youth. We have, I only shared the 5 organizations that I'm involved in. But there are several other organizations out there. And when I think about it, when I was reflecting on school this morning and what happens at school, and thinking about this same, you know, civics, the same point you made earlier, we have a lot of entities at school. I was listening to the principal of the Allen School, and she talked a really good vision that they have and a really excellent strategy that they've employed to get their students involved at some level, all of them. And if you think about it, whether you're in the violin, the key club, the Girl Guides or Scouts, whatever, you get a chance to be with other students. They don't have to be from your class. They're others. Right. And you learn how to build social skills. You learn how to deal with conflict resolution. And I always contend my experiences in extracurricular activity were those things that helped to make and break me. Not just being in the classroom.
No.
It is going to NIFCA with the bigger girls from school.
Right, extracurricular.
It is dealing with the teachers. It is help being a prefect.
Absolutely.
Extra things.
Correct.
Not just what went on in school. And I think, I say this because I haven't done any research, but I don't know that school life is the same as it was all children.
Trust me, it isn't.
I shudder to think that, because the experience at school is so necessary.
Correct.
Working with your peers, even fighting, and I don't mean physical fighting,
but
the conflict that occurs, how you handle the conflict that comes upon you, and how you deal with the tomorrow after a bad experience at school, the day to, you know, all of that helps to make and break the individual.
Exactly. Yes, but Lisa, again, it goes back to each individual saying, I am going to go and help this, because
or help one child, even if you choose one child.
In Girl Guides where I work, all right, you cannot change the world, so don't attempt to do that. You only need to change
your world. You change
correct
your world.
And I'm saying that we need females to come and give 1 hour. That's all we ask, because there are a lot of schools who,
so you're going to give me the number off air, or you're going
to, I'll give it to you off air. Yes.
Okay.
There are lots of schools who cannot run things like Girl Guides and Brownies, because guess what?
They don't have the volunteers.
They don't have the manpower.
Yeah.
So some of us in there have to run 2 units, 3 units, 4 units, and that's mm-hmm. not really, it's you're really stretching yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But because we do not have that give back volunteerism, and
yes.
that's something that's very needed in 2020 going forward.
Yes.
So I really want to see 3 things done.
Mm-hmm.
Females and males coming to join organizations, youth organizations, to give back. If you can teach me Morris code, I will appreciate that.
Okay.
If I was a young person, mm-hmm. right? Teaching me things like tying knots, learning survival skills, all those Morris code, all those are things that I learned when I was a guide.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying, come and give. Each person would have a different talent or skill.
Bring it.
So come and give it. There's nothing about no payment, because another thing, a lot of people want to go in organizations and expect to be paid. We are not.
Yes,
we need
volunteerism.
Money, it's volunteerism from your heart.
Yes.
So I'm saying we really need that back in Barbados, and I'm tired hearing of all these discussions, and then the next day, nothing happens. All these panel discussions, how you to do this and do this with violence and behavior. Come and work with the children, okay? And
yes.
help their behavior with things like emotional intelligence. That's a great program to work with boys and girls.
Yeah. I was actually going to say, I'm putting a plug for EQ Barbados, which is an emotional intelligence drive, headed by Tony Alton. But just... one thing he even decided to do outside of the emotional intelligence training, etc., this something called 12 Months of Kindness.
Mm-hmm. And, I know about that.
Right. So and the Prime Minister did the foreword. And this month of January, there was a, what was the theme? Actually, every month has a different theme.
Theme.
So acts
right.
of welcome for January.
Correct.
Acts of exhalation, meaning forgiveness, and, you know, breathe, February. Acts of gratitude for March. April is acts of acceptance. May, acts of thinking win-win. June, acts of help. July, acts of encouragement. August, acts of reciprocation. September, acts of inspiration. October, acts of nakedness. That's like taking off and, you know, releasing.
Yeah.
November, acts of generosity. And December, acts of celebration. And it's all within the whole point of giving, being
right.
kind. I think our society needs more kindness.
Oh, we don't. Oh dear.
We
but
need
Lisa,
kindness.
I am saying that you have to do it. I have a situation where I stop my car and get out and speak to children who are doing things that are not right
yes.
on the road.
I don't always get out, but
I'm not saying
I've done one or two times.
I'm saying that is a one of my ways.
Yes.
And I'm saying that you feel such satisfaction
yes.
from helping one child.
That's right.
And I really do think, forget the government, because mm-hmm. it starts with us
starts
as
with
individuals.
Us. Yeah.
Civic mm-hmm. duties,
mm-hmm.
we have to put back our history in Barbados. Too long, we have not been speaking. It's now that this is the gathering year.
Mm-hmm.
You're hearing a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
I even learned that Bathsheba was called Shepherd Town.
Mm-hmm.
I myself
mm-hmm.
was
Did
not taught
know.
That in my school.
Yeah.
So I'm saying that life is a learning process,
mm-hmm.
and I think that more so now that we are really trying to get back to this Barbadiana thing and our culture, I think that we have to set aside some kind of time
mm-hmm.
to teach our young people civics. We have to teach them things like soft skills. I am going to say that till I die.
Mm-hmm. Well, I teach, I do, I do. And that's
but
one of the things
that,
in my consultancy.
How many people with that?
Soft skills
how many
training.
People do that? You know, all the people that are having this cake sale and this fundraising, that's good too. But come and give and teach maybe 2 children
mm-hmm.
maybe how to say I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't know about saying I'm sorry.
What about etiquette? I would add etiquette to that, because listen to me.
Soft skills fall under that.
Hello,
right?
Hello. You have to pull the word etiquette out. Because while you say soft skills, the etiquette falls under soft skills. There are different types of etiquette.
I know that for different things.
Right.
And
therefore, you should say etiquette by itself, because unfortunately, it is not taught. A lot of our young people don't know.
It's not manifested
at home. And therefore, and even unfortunately, some of our teachers don't have the same levels of etiquette and soft skills.
Children, because some of the teachers need to be taught too.
Right.
Because some of them are, I mean, to be really and truly real gross, and I cannot believe it. This is what I'm seeing.
Right. But our community has changed.
That's what I'm saying. But because it has changed, we need to get, we said we are going to get back to the basics.
Yes.
And the basics, whether this is village life and village training, whatever you want to call it or label it, I'm saying that we need to go back to that. The people who know are to come and sit at the table and decide to get it done. But you'd see another thing, Lisa, because I speak my mind. The people who want to do and the people who have the ideas, I said this last night at a town hall meeting, they are not called to the table. It's always the people, and I don't make no apologies about this, they're always the people who have doctorates and masters. I don't hide my mouth about
this. Not all the time. I disagree with you. You know why I do?
A lot of time. You know who I
do? You mean for
Sluggy. He brought some great suggestions, and he said the same thing I said, right?
I heard him on Saturday making some excellent interventions as well. But I want to respond to you, though. And I say this very, very... I've come to this conclusion based on my own research. We have too many people that know how to. They stay behind their quiet walls
their galvanizing curtains
and whatever.
Put up the barrier.
And say some very negative things about the people who do not know or do not have that capacity. And they don't come forward. So don't tell me that it is only people who have PhDs and certain qualifications.
No,
we have a lot of people who do not volunteer, who have the competence, the capabilities, and the know-how, and they do not come forward.
It comes back to what I said. It starts with you, the individual. But how many individuals, sometimes you cannot disagree with this, Lisa. Sometimes there are people, I know people who would like, I met a lady yesterday who would like to give. But you know what she says? I don't know how and where I go and who I go to. And she's an educator.
So okay. we have a sphere. Each of us has
No.
10 people in our lives.
I'm not going to the details about that.
Okay.
But I understood what she meant. Right? There's too much sometimes red tape, bureaucracy.
Because some people want to give according to how they want it. Let me say this. If you can't give in the palace, can you give over by the side house? Can you?
No. You have to know how to do both.
No. I'm saying if you don't get the opportunity to work in the prime minister's office, I'm just using that as an example. I took away the palace because we don't have the monarchy. If you don't have the opportunity to work in government house or in the prime minister's office, would you not go over by the annex and share the same expertise that you want to give? Or no, you want to be seen by the PMO or somebody else?
If you have a heart and a passion, you will do it.
Okay, I agree with you. So we share the same view.
I do it, and I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Yes.
But we do not have enough of that. We have too much pretense. Oh, because I wear a three-piece suit every day, I'm not going to go into the annex. Lisa, I am telling you, I deal with it every day. Mm-hmm. There are people who figure they wear high-heeled shoes and three-piece suits. Mm-hmm. They are not going into the annex.
Well, let them stand there because maybe they shouldn't be giving and sharing any at all. I'm very serious.
Said. But yes, but then they get on the side and criticize.
That's why we have a nation of complainers.
Come and put your hands on the deck.
Right, we agree.
And get them dirtied.
You and I agree, Miss Kelman.
We agree. But getting back, last thing I want to say, litter.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'm finding when the garbage is collected on this tree, especially on the main roads, a lot of the residue and the pieces of the cup and the plate or the whatever is left still. And it's a lot, Lisa. Do we have a situation where there's something that come and takes up? In the olden days, they used to have that and take up what you call the leftovers. This is not garbage in a bag or anything. This is things that drop and the garbage.
Yes.
People did not, no. They took up the garbage bag, and maybe some of the things came out, and they drive along the truck.
Mm-hmm. It happens
right?
a lot. Mm-hmm.
I see a lot of it when I'm going up St. James. I am telling you, and cups and this and boxes and so on. I will not discuss the people throwing litter through the window because I'm tired about that.
Mm-hmm.
But the people picking up the garbage, yes, they're doing a wonderful job now the trucks are in, but there's a lot of leftovers left on the sides. Right here, but there's a villa And when I'm driving up there, a lot of the leftovers from the garbage right in front of the villa. So naturally, the people who work there would have to come and clean it up. But that is really not how it should be. Mm-hmm. If you're taking up the garbage, ensure that you take up the garbage. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, Lisa, I've really enjoyed speaking with you and sharing with you. Mm-hmm. And I wish you all the best for the year 2020.
Thank you so much. I will end here on the point that Sandy would have shared. We have a WhatsApper that says, I do not understand this idea of teaching emotional intelligence because it cannot be taught. This is an innate behavior where the person shown empathy out of themselves. So this idea of emotional intelligence can be taught is so wrong. I will tell you that it is sad that you would say that. You need to get the book it's called Emotional Intelligence 2.0, written by Dr. Travis Bradbury, one of the proponents on emotional intelligence. And one of the big things he said that a person who has EQ, which is emotional intelligence, and a person who has, we generally know the IQ, which is a person's intellectual capacity or the quotient, intellectual quotient, whereas the emotional quotient is what's referred to as the EQ. You can grow the maximum of 5% more with your IQ. So in other words, if you're a child who's doing 40s right through school, primary and secondary, there's a high unlikelihood or a very big probability that you could never go beyond an increase of 5%, no matter what happens. Whereas if we were to measure your emotional intelligence at that age, you can grow leaps and bounds in excess of 50% improvement, which means that it is the emotional intelligence that you can train in, not the IQ. So I don't share your view there, sir or ma'am, who said that emotional intelligence can't be taught. It is really how you learn about your own self, how you learn how to deal with people, learn how to deal with conflict. It has a whole host of elements. The main four will be self-awareness, and then people awareness, and then dealing with people in terms of your networking and your capacity, etc. But that's just a thought on emotional intelligence and a response to a WhatsApper.